In your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with us to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. I'm going to start in verse number 6. Reading here in these words, I hadn't got any idea how to pronounce some of them. So I may just kind of skip over them. Now, when they had gone throughout this place and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after that they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go on to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, and assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, most all of you are real familiar with this passage of Scripture as they came in that direction over there. They came to Philippi, a chief city of Macedonia. And there they went out by the riverside there and found Lydia and some women there who were praying. And as Paul preached the gospel or shared the gospel with her, the Lord opened her heart. And she was saved there. Then as they went on, they came in contact with a certain damsel that was possessed with a spirit of divination. And she began to cry out that these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And Paul then commanded in the name of Jesus Christ that the demonic spirit would come out of her. And so the men that were making money off of her fortune telling there were angry. They brought Paul and Silas there and to the magistrates and made some accusations against them. So in verse 23, we'll pick up reading again here. It says, And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this gathering tonight. Lord, thank you, God, for the word of God tonight, Lord, and how it speaks to us, Lord. We pray, God, your will, God, would be done tonight in this meeting, Lord, and you'd get honor and glory to your name, Lord. If they'd be one lost here tonight, God, pray, God, today, Lord, this would be the day, Lord, that they'd accept you. Help us, Lord, now we pray, and we'll give you glory and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Going to jail to save somebody from hell. Going to jail to save somebody from hell. That's exactly what Paul and Silas did right here in the will of God and under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. God had placed them in a position right here in a jail cell that he might preach and share the gospel with those that were within these walls. Now I want you to
to think on this thought tonight. How far would you be willing to go to share the gospel with somebody? How far would you be willing to go? Hey, Paul was a great preacher. Paul was a great man of God. Paul suffered a lot of things in life. Oh, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. But he didn't stop. He didn't throw in the towel. He kept pressing on. He kept going forward. He was pressing towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of God, friend. And that ought to be our heart tonight in life, friend, that nothing would hinder us from sharing the gospel with a lost and a dying world. I'm here to tell you tonight that we've just got a short time left in this old world, friend. Hey, Jesus is soon to come. There's a multitude of people that's going to die and bust the devil's hell wide open. And we've all probably got loved ones. We've got neighbors. We've got friends that we're just going to, hey, are we just going to stand by and watch them die and go to hell? Or are we going to do something to help them? Paul. Hey, he was willing to suffer. Suffering didn't bother Paul. He was willing to suffer for Christ's sake. Hey, Paul had a burden for souls. Paul knew the fear of God. He knew what awaited man one day, friend. Hey, you leave this life without Christ and you'll find yourself in a devil's hell there for all eternity with no hope. If we could just comprehend that in our minds, friend. Hey, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. Hey, you know, I'm glad that when I was a lost man, there was somebody somewhere had a burden for me. There was somebody somewhere, no doubt, that was praying for me because God had sent the Holy Ghost to where I was. I wasn't looking for God. I had no thoughts of God. I was an enemy of God, but He sent the Holy Ghost to convict me, to put the fear of God in my heart, that He might draw me with cords of love to salvation. Oh, listen to me. Let's look tonight at some things here that would help us in our Christian walk. Notice in verse 6 through 10, I see the leadership of the Spirit of God. I'm talking about men of God that were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And that's one thing that we need in our lives, friend. Hey, if we're going to do anything for God, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't do anything, hey, for God in the power of the flesh. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be filled by the Spirit. We need to have the unction of the Spirit of God. And so many times the reason we are so powerless and so useless, friend, is because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We're filled up with the world. Listen to me now. There's a need of being filled. Hey, he said right here, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia in verse 6. In verse 7 it says, the Spirit suffered them not. Hey, they were filled. They had discernment, friend. They had communication with God through the Spirit of God. And they understood the will of God because of being filled with the Spirit of God. That's a power, friend, that we're missing in our lives often. Is being filled with the Spirit of God that He might lead us into avenues. Hey, listen. If you think you're going to do something for God, very first thing you need to do is get on your knees and pray and ask God to clean you up, give you a clean heart and a right spirit, and then go. Then go try to do something for God and you'll find some success in it. Amen. Listen to me. The need of being filled. And then there's a need of being focused. The need of the right focus in our lives. Verse 9, it said, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. You know, the problem in a lot of Christian lives today, we got no vision anymore. Hey, we're so eat up with the things of this world, friend, that we got no place for God in our lives. We've got no care for the souls of people that are dying and going to hell every day because we have no vision anymore. Listen to me tonight. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world, friend. And God wants to use us, friend. We need a vision back in our lives, friend. Back in our church. Back in our homes, friend. We need a vision for lost souls. Amen. Oh, listen, there's a need of being focused. What are you focused on in life right now? What's your main focus in life? Hey, there's a lot of people went out to meet God today. Amen. Could have been one of us. Hey, I don't want to end up my race, friend, and have to look back with regrets. Amen. But I probably will. But I want to strive to do my best. Don't you? God help me to stay focused. God help me to stay filled, Lord. Hey, He's looking for a vessel to fill with the Spirit of God. We need to be able to present Him a clean vessel. Amen. There's a need of being filled. There's a need of being focused. And there's a need of going forward. In verse 10, he says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia." Immediately. Hey, you know what we'll do when God nudges our heart to do something? We'll try to put it off, won't we? We'll try to wait and see if God will send somebody else to do it. Listen, we ought to be jumping with joy that God would nudge our heart to be used of Him. Amen. I mean, He could have passed us by. He could have let us die and go to hell. There's a need of going forward for God in our lives. Hey, it's no time to go backwards, friend. It's time for the church of God to be moving forward. I know we're not real popular anymore in the world. But listen, I ain't ready to quit, are you? I've got some lost loved ones I want to see saved. Amen. God help me to keep that burden, friend. Every time we come within the doors of Liberty Baptist Church, our heart ought to be burdened for lost souls. Hey, there may be somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, and we ought to be burdened every time we gather. We ought to lift Jesus up high and holy, friend. Come prayed up and come filled up, friend, and ask God to do something in our midst. Listen. The need of being filled. The need of being focused. The need of going forward. But then there's a need of the fallen. The need of the fallen. Hey, these people, listen. We are very much a minority in this world. Listen, there's multitudes of lost people that we bump shoulders with every day. Multitudes of lost people. I wonder, have we got any burden? Could we just hand them a track? Could we pray for them somewhere? For our loved ones. I mean, when's the last time you prayed for your lost loved ones? When's the last time you tried to witness to somebody that was lost on their way to hell? Listen to me. We can do more. The needs of the fallen. In verse 9, the Bible says, "There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us! Help us!'" What's that saying to you and me? Listen, there's a multitude of people that needs help. They need Christ. They need truth. They need some light to shine in their life. This world is troubled, friend. Hey, there's people, friend, that are troubled. They're looking for peace and contentment in alcohol, in drugs, in things that satisfy the flesh for just a few moments, friend. But they need Christ in their life. And we've got Christ to share with them. Hey, they were then the vision that Paul saw, a man from Macedonia says, "Come over and help us." What can you do? What can I do? Well, if we just get that vision and be willing to go immediately they went. No hesitation. Following the Spirit of God. The leadership of the Spirit, we need it in our lives. Not only that, the lot of suffering. The lot of suffering. Now, isn't it amazing here that Paul and Silas was in the perfect will of God and they got hurt? The perfect will of God. They go over and wind up getting beat. Getting striped. Not only that, friend, but they threw them into prison. put them fast in stocks, friend, and gave the old keeper of the prison there a charge, saying, don't you let these boys go. They got hurt. Hey, this is a warfare. Don't you know the devil's going to come against you? But I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I'm on the right side, ain't you? Amen. And if I have to suffer for Christ's sake, so be it. Glory be to God. I'm glad He chose me to be a soldier. Amen. I'm glad I'm in His army today. Now I don't want to sit on the sidelines. Listen to me. The herd of Paul and Silas. Not only that, but the hope of Paul and Silas. You know what they could have done? They could have had them a pity party, Brother Joe. I mean, they were obedient to the vision and the Holy Ghost of God, friend, and they got over there and run into the devil, friend, and had them beat and thrown into jail, and they could have just said, well, that's it. I'm going home. Anybody ever got their feelings hurt trying to be a witness, trying to do something for Christ? Hey, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I remember one of the very first people I tried to witness to after I got saved, went back to work, started telling these fellows I worked with what happened to me. I thought they'd be just as... I don't know why I thought them heathens would be tickled for me. But one of them says, more power to you. That was my congratulations for getting saved. Lord of mercy. Listen, the herd of Paul. You're going to get hurt if you serve Christ. You remember when the Lord saved Paul and Ananias was sent over there to speak to him? And God said he's going to suffer many things for my sake. If you're going to get in this warfare, you're going to suffer some. Don't think it's strange if somebody hurts your feelings. It's going to happen. Peter says Christ suffered, leaving us an example. Amen? He took it patiently. Right? Amen. Don't let the devil knock you out of the race. Amen? Amen. The lot of suffering, the herd of Paul, but the hope of Paul. In Romans chapter 15, I want you to look at something right here. Romans chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That was the difference in Paul and Silas' life, friend, when they got beaten, when they got thrown into jail. Hey, the devil might have hurt them, friend, but he couldn't take their hope away from them. Amen. I'm glad I got hope tonight in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the shed blood of Christ. I've got hope in heaven tonight, friend. I've got the Word of God, and it never, never will change, friend. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, friend. I've got a hope. Ain't you glad you got hope tonight? Nothing can take it away. Something can take your health away, take your home away. Hey, but we've got a hope, friend, that the devil can't touch tonight. Hey, I've heard of people laying on their deathbed, friend, and saying, and a smile come on their face, and saying, I see Jesus. Hey, and I see some of my loved ones, friend. Hey, that's a hope right there, friend. That's what we've got as Christians, friend. Our hope is not in this life, in this world, but it's in the world to come, and it's in Christ. Listen. The lot of suffering, the herd of Paul, the hope of Paul. But then there was the hearing of the prisoners. The hearing of the prisoners. Folks are watching you and me. You believe that? You just let us get in a trial or get in some kind of in some kind of trouble, friend, or something come upon us, and there's going to be somebody that's watching you to see how you handle it. Amen. Listen to me. The hearing of the prisoners. In verse 25, the Bible says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Hey, they wasn't singing no somebody done me wrong song. They wasn't praying, "God, you strike him dead over there, the old man that put the stripes on me." No, no, no. You know what? The prisoners that heard them, you know, they were singing praises unto God. Even though that they had come under persecution, even though they'd been beaten with many stripes and thrown in jail, friend, they still had a song. They still had something to praise God about. And you know what I believe? I believe what old Paul was praying, I believe he was saying, "Lord, God, would you reach out? Would you use me while I'm in here, Lord? God, would you save that old jailer that put the stripes on my back? God, would you let me be a light to him? God, would you do something with me while I'm in this place?" There was opportunity there in the jailhouse where he was at. Oh, listen to me. They were singing and a-praying and a-praising God. When the hour seemed the darkest, at midnight, can you imagine how dark it was in that dungeon where they was at? Hey, they didn't have chandeliers hanging in the jail there. It was pitch black. They were beaten to a pulp. They didn't have nothing to treat themselves with, friend, but they still had a song of praise to God. We bellyache about everything, don't we? We look for a little pain to keep from coming to church. Amen. We look for some puny excuse to lay out on God. Amen. Listen, the hour was dark. It was depressing, and no doubt there was every kind of devil trying to get Paul to quit. But he wouldn't quit. He took the worst of situations and made something positive out of it. Could we do a little better on our end in our Christian life? The leadership of the Spirit, the lot of suffering, and then this, the loosing of souls. Loosing of souls. You see, Paul and Silas was put in bonds that they could get into the prison to loose them, some that were under bonds. Bonds of sin. Bonds of sin. Sin had them shackled. The old jailer, and no doubt the prisoners that was in that place, sin had them shackled. And they didn't realize it. Not only did it have them shackled, it had them shut in. Not only did it have them shackled and shut in, but it had them sentenced. And that sentence was death, for the wages of sin is death. But they heard something different they'd never heard before. Paul and Silas praying to the living God, singing praises to the living God. You remember when sin had you shackled? You remember when sin had you shut in? Had you shut in and separated from God, separated. They were inside, friend, and they couldn't get out. That's the way sin does a lost person. Hey, you can find things in life for just a moment or two to bring a little joy and happiness to you, but there's nothing more miserable in life than knowing that you're lost and knowing that you're just a heartbeat out of a devil's hell, friend. Hey, there's nothing no worse than being under the sentence of death because of your sins. Your sins. Your sins. The wages of sin is death. Listen. Sin had them shackled. Sin had them shut in. Sin had them sentenced to die, friend. But Christ offered them salvation. Ain't you glad that Christ loves sinners? There was probably men in there that were under or were maybe awaiting execution. There was men in there, no doubt, that were guilty, 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 or they wouldn't have been in jail. But Christ, thank God, Jesus, He looks at sinners, friend, with compassion. He looks at sinners with grace and mercy, friend. And He offers that to all mankind that would come to Him and accept salvation and forgiveness. Thank God for the blood tonight. Oh, listen to me. Christ offered salvation that night. Hey, by the perfect will of God, God had a preacher coming into the prison there. He wasn't invited in, but God placed him in that place. God sent him a preacher there. Ain't you glad God sent a preacher your way one day? Hey, ain't you glad God sent a preacher, hey, that had a vision, hey, that had a burden for a lost soul, and he preached and told you the truth? God sent him a preacher. God sent conviction in that place. God sent a shaking in that place. He can shake things up, can't he? You remember, I'll just use myself for an example. When I was lost, out in the world, doing the things of the world, I didn't really have a lot of fear of God. If I had, I wouldn't have been doing the things I was doing. Wouldn't have been cursing His name nearly every breath. Drinking and gambling and doing the things. But listen, God sent Holy Ghost conviction my way. And fear fell upon me. Seemed like I turned this way and there was death and hell. This way, and there was death and hell. This way, and there was death and hell. And this way, death and hell was closing in upon me, and fear came upon me, friend. And I was lost, friend. And the devil had told me time and time again that you've gone too far. You've done too much. He'll never save you. He was a liar. I remember as well as I remember anything in my life, I'll never forget the day the Lord saved me. I remember the words I said when He saved me. I said, "Lord, if I'll take up the cross and follow You, will You have me?" Just like that. I didn't make it to the altar. He saved me before I got there, Brother Joe. Boy, I was glad to get down there and tell that preacher, though. God saved me. God has saved me. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't come to seek and save somebody that was good. He came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Boy, I was sick. I was sick to death. Listen. Christ offered salvation. Verse 31. He said, in verse 30, He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Notice what Paul told him. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Didn't say believe in Him. The devils believe in Him, but believe on Him. That is, cast all yourself, all your being upon Him. Trust Him. Take Him at His word, and He'll save you. Believe on Him, and on Him, and on Him, and on Him. Glad I believed on Him. First Sunday morning in March, 1974. I'd believed in Him. Many, many years, I believed in Him. That morning, I believed on Him. And I'm still believing on Him. And I'll be believing on Him tomorrow. When I draw my last breath, I'll still be believing on Him. Amen. Amen. The Lord knows how to shake a person's life up. Amen. Stand with me. Sister Cher, would you play something for us tonight?